I am so thankful for the opportunity that I have to be here. I am thankful to Dad and to Rodney for asking me to stand before you and open up God's Word with you. I'm thankful to Mr. Niemeyer for being willing to, pretty last minute last week, be willing to switch me because I had to make a trip for work. I'm thankful to be here with my family, and I don't just mean the 8 of us that are right here. I mean the 45 people that are in this building tonight. You all are our brothers and sisters, and I'm so thankful for the opportunity to be with you and to open up God's Word and to study with you. If you want to open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. What I want to do is go back to the basics. Some of the things, sometimes when we study this idea, or we look at Christianity, sometimes we look at different ideologies, sometimes we look at different doctrine, we look at different commands. What I want to do is go back to the basics of being a new creature in Christ. And I want to look at 3 understandings, and then 2 understandings that are kind of a prequel to those 3 understandings. So, 5 understandings, if Nick, can you check my math on that? 5 understandings that we want to have as new creatures in Christ. So if you look at 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter with me again, starting in verse 16, it says, "From now on, therefore we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though once we regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is Christ God, that is in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So when we look at being a new creature in Christ, and also, I don't normally do PowerPoints, I'm trying it today, feel free to give me feedback at the end if it goes well or not. So there's a few understandings that we need to have if we are going to understand being a new creature in Christ. And the first one is, I cannot be a new creature if I am outside of Christ. John 14 and verse 6, when I say the verse, you may not know it, but when I start it, most will be able to finish it. Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Okay, so if Jesus is saying no one can come to the Father but through him, how can I get in Christ? In Galatians, the 3rd chapter and verse 27, it says, "For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." Some versions say, "have been clothed in Christ." And then if we look at Romans, the 6th chapter, it paints that picture that we see in Galatians, the 3rd chapter. I have it on the screen behind me. It says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." And we're going to come back to this section of Scripture later, because as you look through the rest of the chapter, it talks about being freed from sin. And being freed from the bondage of sin, but then becoming a servant of Christ. Becoming a servant of righteousness. So if I am to understand that I need to be in Christ, I must realize that, or if I want to be a new creature, I must be baptized into Christ. I must be buried in the water, and I must die, the old man must die when that happens. And we will discuss that as the second understanding here in just a minute. So the second understanding we have is new does not always mean new. So I have a picture of a beautiful car. You see a lot of commercials around this time of year, people getting new cars for Christmas or for the holidays. New does not always mean new. But sometimes I think we look at this idea of being a new creature as like a new car. It's special for a little while. It's new for a little while. But what happens to that new car as time goes on? It depreciates. Maybe sometime, or when I first get a new car, I'm going to park it all the way at the back of a parking lot. I'm going to make sure that nobody's around me. Some people are bold enough to park on the line, so nobody can park on either side of them. When we have that new car, we treat it special. We treat it as it's new. We hold it high. But maybe a year, 2 years in, I'm going to park it right next to the cart rack where anybody can push their cart right into it. Or I don't care where it is, as long as it's the closest spot. It's no longer new. It's no longer special. And at some point, I'm going to replace that new car that meant so much to me. But when I'm a new creature, and being a new creature in Christ, that is not like having a new car or a new shiny toy that means so much to me. This is always going to be new. And as a new creature, it doesn't mean that I'm just freshly baptized, freshly out of the water. Even old guys like my dad are a new creature. You can always be a new creature. And that is what we are called to be, is new creatures in Christ. So two understandings before we go into this is that I must be in Christ if I want to be a new creature. And I cannot be in Christ without baptism. And also I need to understand that this new does not wear off. It's not just something that I have right now or when I've come fresh out of the water of baptism. But I am to be walking in newness of life, as we talked about we read in Romans, the 6th chapter, each day from the time I make the commitment to Christ. That I will continue to be a new creature for Him. The next thing that we need, then with these two basic understandings, I want to move into three more understandings that we can find from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. First one is that the old man must die. The old man must die. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We looked at Romans, the 1st chapter, verses 1 through 11, and we saw what it looks like to die to sin. When we are baptized, therefore, with Him and by baptism into death, verse 4, in order that is just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. In verse 15 it says, what then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one to whom you obey, either of sin which leads to death or obedience which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, having become slaves of righteousness, I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you were once presented yourselves as members, as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading more lawlessness, so now present yourself members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. Verse 20 says, for when you were slaves of sin, you were freed in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at the time of the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and in the end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The old man must die, and when he dies, that means I'm going to start walking in a different way. That I'm going to start acting in a different way. I didn't advance the PowerPoint slide, so it's not working well. Alright, so Romans chapter 1, I am no longer a slave to sin. I am now a slave to righteousness. And let's look at 1 Peter, the 1st chapter. In 1 Peter, the 1st chapter, verse 22, starting it says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like a flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord remains forever. in this word which is the good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. And indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 22 or 24, if you just go to the end of that chapter that we just read, it says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. I must understand that if I'm a new creature, that means the old man has to die. And it cannot be unconscious. It can't be knocked out or in the back or put in storage. The old man must die. Galatians, the second chapter in verse 20, says, I am crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Okay, picture this. So we've all had a bonfire, or maybe some people here heat their houses with a wood burning stove. My family has never done that, but I've house sat for two families that have, and both of them told me one thing: do not let the fire go out. If it goes down to being just embers, that's okay. Do not let the fire go out. And so while I was thinking of a way to think about this old man dying, I thought of a fire. That fire is alive. Or if I have a campfire and I go out after the night and I see that there's this picture on the left, there's the embers that are still there, it doesn't take very much effort at all to get that fire going again. If I add some new wood, maybe I add some fuel, I add some leaves, whatever it is that can be quick and burning, I can get that fire rolling again. And it doesn't take that much effort. But you see this picture on the right, the fire is dead. That fire is gone. And there is nothing that can start that fire again except for a new flame. And sometimes when we think about this old man or we think about putting away this old creature, we let it die down. Maybe you don't see the flame. Maybe it's not a burning fire, but there's still embers that are burning. And it doesn't take very much effort for Satan to come in my life, to give a temptation, and to start that fire back up. Now, I'm not saying that this fire cannot be started again, because we could add new flame. I'm not saying once the old man is dead that we can't bring it back to life. Because if I give in to temptation, and if I give in to sin, that fire can come back. But I need to realize that I can't just make that old man, or put that old man in the closet. I can't just knock that old man unconscious. The old man must die. And if it doesn't die, then I cannot be a new creature in Christ. So I must understand that the old man has to die. The second thing I must know is that I am reconciled to Christ. As a new creature in Christ, the old man is dead, and I am reconciled to Christ. Let's look back at 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter again. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, starting in verse 17, it says, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The definition of to be reconciled is to make one's account consistent with another, or to bring harmony between two parties. In Isaiah 59 and verse 2, it says, Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you that He does not hear. Our sins, our iniquities have make a separation from God. And we cannot be with God again unless there is a reconciliation. And God sent His Son so that we can have that hope. In Ephesians, the second chapter in verse 16, is talking about the divide between the Jews and the Greeks. It said that Jesus has removed that separation that He might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. I did it again. He reconciled all mankind to Himself. You might say both Jew and Greek. Those who may walk or look like what I might say looks like a Christian, might looks like a decent person, and all people of this world, God can and did reconcile to Himself. In Colossians, the first chapter, if you'll look there with me, in Colossians, the first chapter, we'll start in verse 19. Colossians, the first chapter, starting in verse 19, it says, "For in Him was the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you a holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister." We all, that Christ was reconciled that we might live. Those who were alienated, those who were sin, those who were separated, as we just read from Isaiah 59, we can be brought back to Him. And you see, though, we need to understand that there are both blessings and there are responsibilities. Before you guys get wide eyes, we're not going to read through all of these. There are both blessings and responsibilities to having this reconciliation. I am chosen. I am precious before God. We read 1 Peter. We read from 1 Peter 1. I put 1. It's chapter 2. We read to verse 4. But continuing to go, he says, "You are a royal priesthood, a chosen nation." That is who we are before God. We are justified. We are made blameless. I'm dead to sin. I'm alive in God. I've been freed from the bondage of sin. I am united with my brethren. I have liberty and I have freedom. I am a child of God. I have grace immeasurable and free. Let's look at Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians, the second chapter, and verse 10. And, well, I'm sorry. I could read the whole thing, but I'm not going to. We'll stay in 10. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before Him that we should walk in Him." I should have read the whole thing. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now in the work in the sons' disobedience, among whom once we all lived in the passions of flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and in the mind that were by nature, children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, seated us with Him on the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, that no one may boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the good works, with God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I have grace, and then I have strength in times of weakness. Most of us know Philippians 4 and verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 10 tells me, "In Christ I can have reconciliation. I can have salvation." These are blessings that I can find if I am in Christ. And I didn't have enough room on this PowerPoint to put all the blessings that I could have. And if you pull out a concordance, or it's the 21st century, you Google blessings in Christ, or you look at how many times "in Christ" is found, and you can read all of the different times Scripture tells us how blessed we are to be reconciled to Him, to be found in Him. We have so many blessings in this. But I must also understand that if I'm going to be in Christ, there are responsibilities for me. I must understand that I have a responsibility to grow, that I must forsake the old man, to turn away from him. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6 says, I must walk as Jesus walked. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 through 6 says, My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ is righteous. He is the propitiation of our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps the word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And then we could turn a page over and read from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. If I want to be in Christ, I must abide in his law. It requires action for me. We have the opportunity to be reconciled to Christ, to be brought back to him. And as a new creature, we can be found in him, which is going to be giving us blessings and responsibilities. And some of we have a responsibility to make sure that we are in line with him. We read the definition at the beginning, to make one account consistent with another, to bring harmony between two parties. When's the last time you did a self audit on yourself? To check yourself, to find if you are truly in harmony with Christ, to find if one account matches with the other. You know, when it comes to our bank account, we check that often, don't we? Or our checkbook. If it didn't match, we're not going to say, "Yeah, well, maybe next week." We're going to look into it, right? We're going to find out. If I look at all the charges and I say, "Well, I didn't make those. I don't know anything about that." Yeah, well, that guy's enjoying my money, I'm sure. We're going to reconcile that. We're going to make it right. We're going to make that account seem right. But how much more important is my soul? How much more important is it to make sure that my heart is reconciled to God? And if I am a new creature, He has given me reconciliation, but it also creates a responsibility that going forward, I continue to audit myself. I continue to check myself to make sure that I'm living in harmony with what God has called me to do. To live as God has called me to live. I have a responsibility, but I have so many blessings. In our text we read from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, our sins have been forgiven. And we have this reconciliation. And we read verse 19. It says, that is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting the trespasses against them, and entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. You know what? That old man probably did some really dumb things. But we put him to death. And God knows that we put him to death. And because of that, He brought us back to Him. And He forgave us for the things that old man has done. But we need to make sure that we continue to live our life following Him. And making sure that we continue to live in harmony with His Word. Final thing that we need to know. I have not been moving. There we go. We must understand that the old man must die. We must understand that I am reconciled to Christ and that now I am an ambassador for Christ. The word ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. It's a mouthful. Basically, it's a representative, right? It's one country is sending someone that they trust, that is accredited to represent them as they go to do discussion or negotiation with another country. And we are told, if we look in verses 20 through 21, that we are ambassadors for Christ. God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake He made Him to sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Romans, the 1st chapter in verse 16, that's another verse that if I started, I believe a lot of us would be able to finish it. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. But do we know the context? Do we know what's around, or do we know the verses around that? Verse 14, Paul says, I'm under obligation to both the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Therefore, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, and is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Paul said, I'm under obligation to both the Greeks and to the barbarians. As Christians, as new creatures in Christ, we have an obligation to share that reconciliation with the world. Paul said, I implore you. I implore you, he said in verse 20. Says, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Just a hypothetical situation, just to pretend. If God and His people were a country, and the world were a country, and there is this big conference on this idea of reconciliation, could God feel comfortable sending me as a representative? Could God feel comfortable saying, you know what, Nick, you understand this. You're an ambassador for Christ. Can you go negotiate? Can you go talk on my behalf? If I'm a child of God, I should be a subject matter expert on this. I know what it's like to be lost and separated from God. I know what it's like to hear and to know the impact of the gospel. I know the meaning of the washing away of my sins in baptism, to be brought into Christ. If I am a child of God, I should be able to be, and if I am a new creature in Christ, I should be able to comfortably say that I am willing to be the ambassador in this discussion. That I am comfortable saying that I know what I'm talking about when it comes to this. And if I can't say that I am ready to be an ambassador, if I can't say that I'm standing up for Christ, then that old man probably is not dead. Then that maybe the flame is still burning. Maybe it's even down to embers and stuck in the closet in the back. But if I'm to be a new creature in Christ, then I have the responsibility to be an ambassador for Him. To be telling others. To be imploring others. To be bringing others to Him. I implore you. We implore you, excuse me, that it says, on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Because he who knew no sin, he who knew no sin was made to know sin on our behalf. Because of what we've already established, the old man sins. The old man was separate from God. And until that old man had died, until I had been reconciled to him, I was without hope. But now I have the opportunity to tell others about that hope. In Romans, the 5th chapter, in verse 6, it says, for while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now than we were reconciled shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Nick, I don't know what to say. I don't know where to go. That sums it up pretty well right there. Romans, the 5th chapter, says, while we were still sinners, while we were still weak, while we were still separate, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for you and I, that we can be brought back to Him. He who knew no sin was made to know sin that we could become the righteousness of God. And I've done it again. I've not moved forward. If I want to be a new creature in Christ, the old man has to die. He can't be left in the closet in storage. The flame has to be gone. If I am a new creature in Christ, it means that I'm reconciled to God. that despite all the dumb things that the old man did, despite all the sin that I committed, but besides that God did not consider those sins. Verse 19 of 2 Corinthians 5, what we've already read, said that that in Christ God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. We have been brought back to them, back to God, even though we were living in sin. And if I'm to be a new creature, I know that I need to now become an ambassador for Christ, to tell other people as well. Because before I was brought back to Christ, I was without hope. I was lost. But because of His love, because of what He did for us, I was brought to Him, and I now have hope. And it's selfish of me not to want to tell everybody else about it. Because there's a lot of people in this world who are without hope. There are a lot of people who are separate from God. Maybe even some of us in this building are separate from God today. But we have the opportunity to be brought back to Him, to kill off that old man, and to be reconciled to God. And then you too can start telling other people about it. All the good that God has done. All the blessings that we discussed that we can find in being with Christ. You guys saw me hit the slide, so you knew that the black screen was after. But if you close your Bible, I've got one more verse to read from Titus, the third chapter. Titus, the third chapter. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle, to show perfect courtesy towards all people. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and to pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of the works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy. By the washing of the regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. But avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. As for a person who stirs up division after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with it, knowing that such person is warped and sinful, and he is self-condemned." I don't want to get you excited, but I could have just read this scripture instead of all the things that I talked about. Because it shows us how we go from being that old man, led astray by sin, foolish, disobedient, our various passions led us away. Verse 4, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us." He saved us. And it doesn't matter what that old man did. It doesn't matter the sin that we lived in. Because we have an opportunity to walk as a new creature in Christ. Again, not just as we come freshly out of baptism, but every day as we walk throughout the rest of our life. Because He saved us. And so this evening, I'm going to implore the same way that Paul did in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. On the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. For living in sin this evening, if the old man is still burning away, we have the opportunity tonight to put him away, to kill off that old man, and to start walking in newness of life, to start walking with God. If there's anyone in the building tonight that needs to start that walk, to start that journey and put on Christ in baptism, you have that opportunity. And for us who have put on Christ in baptism, but we've let the world carry us away, we've let that old man continue to burn, tonight we have the opportunity to put him away again. To start walking as a new creature again. Because right now is all we have promised. And I implore you to not leave this building with any kind of question, with any kind of doubt as to where you'll spend your eternity. And if we can help you in any way, we ask that you please come forward right now as we stand and as we sing.